I've been listening a lot to some radio preachers that I just love, and I've been learning some jokes, and I want to pass them on, but I didn't hear this on the radio. I actually found this online, but I thought it was funny. So you want to hear something funny before we get serious? Well, I am in the natural not a great joke teller, but because I always forget the punchline, so I laugh at my own jokes. But if you'll humor me and laugh, even if it's not funny, okay, will you just say yes, I'll do that? Remember now, I'm a nana, so I'm a little sensitive, all right? So here's how the story goes. There was this old lady, and the older I get, the more I love old ladies. And there was this old lady, and she lived by herself, and she had a habit. She loved God. She loved Jesus. And have you ever been next to an older woman in church where she's just a little loud? Well, she was that way, and she'd go out to her front porch, and she would just greet the day every morning, and she'd say, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's a new day, and I just praise you, and I just give you glory," and she would shout from her porch. Well, her next-door neighbor was an old man, and he was an atheist, and it just irked him so much to hear her praising God. And so, as the story goes, she went on, and she did this morning after morning, and he would just get more irritated and more irritated. And then one morning, she came out to her front porch, and she prayed as she normally does, and only this time she said, "Oh, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you've given me. But, Lord, you know that I've fallen into some challenging times, and, Lord, I don't have any food. And I just thank you for buying me some groceries, for giving me something to eat, Father. And I just give you praise." And she just said it out loud and hollered it right out to the air. Well, the atheist old man was sitting listening to this on his porch, and he hatched up an idea. And he said, "I'm going to get her now. I'm going to prove to her that there is no God. I'm going to buy her groceries." So he went and bought a bunch of groceries, and he put a couple of sacks at night. He snuck over, put the sacks of groceries on her front porch, and he didn't say a word to her. And he waited early in the morning. He set his alarm. He got up early so he wouldn't miss this. And he waited in the bushes so that he could say, "Aha, I told you." And so she comes out like she always does, and she looks around, and she greets the day, and she praises the Lord, and she looks down, and she sees the groceries, and she said, "Oh, Lord, how amazing are you that you would care about this little old widow's hunger and that you would feed me and bring me groceries." And the old man that had been in the bushes, he says, "Now's my time." And he jumps out of the bushes. He jumps up on our front porch and he says, "I told you there was no God. I heard you and I went and I bought you those groceries. I gave you those groceries." Well, the old woman hears this, and she just absolutely goes into ecstatic praise, and she begins to dance and twirl and jump around, and this is what she said. She said, "Oh, Lord, I not only thank you for bringing me the groceries, but Almighty God, you made the devil pay for them." Here's to little old ladies. If you got your Bibles, will you turn with me to the book of James? We are going to be in James, and we're going to be in Hebrews, and then we're going to the book of Romans, and we're going to get through this, and hopefully I won't mess up in the name of Jesus. But I want to speak to you tonight, and a great pastor that I deeply respect, and I have been taught so much from, and it's not my husband, although I deeply love him and respect him, and I've sat under all of his teachings, and he's taught me everything I know. But there was a pastor that was in our lives. His name was Pastor Jack Hayford, Church on the Way, and we'd go to all his pastors' conferences as young pastors, and he taught us. And I studied the book of Romans through his teaching series, and he taught me some of this about 30 years ago when I was a very young pastor. And I want to speak tonight on the subject of patience. It's not a subject that any of us probably are very excited to hear. It's probably not something, you know, you're probably looking at your watch and saying, "Oh, man, I hope this goes fast." Because patience is something probably a lot of us, and I would be the first one to admit it, are short on. Is anybody else short on patience? I live in a world and in a culture that is instant, from microwaves to fast food to the internet and to everything's faster, 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 faster. I don't like to wait for anything. And so patience has been something through my journey with Jesus Christ that I have continually been stumped by and learn and then come back and learn again. And Pastor Jack said something that I never forgot. He says, you teach people as pastors, the best teachings that you bring are the ones that you're actually living yourself. And I find myself right now in this time of sabbatical and with Jim's healing and with our lives in such turmoil and uproar, and there's been some very bizarre things that have happened to us personally in this time. I find myself in need and studying and learning how to walk out my life of faith in patience. And so I want to speak tonight about a couple of things that God has been speaking to me about. Is that all right? So if we go to the book of James, and if we look in the first chapter, it says, and I'll just start reading, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And right there, I'm just grateful that God started the early church, and he founded the church not in a time of ease, but in a time of stress, a time of tribulation, a time of great trouble and woe. And yet this infant church that started out so small grew stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And there's a saying, there's only two things that gain value when you step on them, a Persian carpet and the church of the living God. And it just seems like the more we get stepped on and the more persecution and the more trouble that comes our way, God says you're getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And patience is a huge part of that. So he's writing to a very persecuted church that's been scattered. And he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. There it is. Patience is not something I can receive, that I can be given. Patience is something I have to learn. I already have everything I need on the inside of me. When I got born again of the Spirit of God and translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, and I became a new creation and got the God nature, a new nature, just like a brand new infant baby, everything I need to grow up strong in the kingdom of God, I was given. At my new birth, I was given faith, I was given love, I was given all of these things, and patience is just a part of the God nature that is now residing in me because I have a new nature. And so I can't receive any more patience. I have all I'm going to need. Like, you can't receive any more muscle once you're born, but you've got to develop those muscles. You've got to develop those tendons, and you've got to stretch those out, and you've got to work them so that you become strong as you grow. Are you with me? Well, it's the same thing with patience. Patience is not a place that you can go to. Patience is a place you must grow to. It's not a place you can go to. It's a place you grow to. And so therefore, he says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials and tests, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea and is tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So let's just stop there and let's just dig into this topic. My brethren, count it all joy. The purpose of trials and tests are going to come, and there's a reason for them. God doesn't send them, and we're going to see that in a minute, but he allows them, and he works through them. So patience comes through tribulation, trials, and tests. You develop patience in a hard time. You're not going to develop patience. I am not going to develop patience and let patience have a perfect work in me, because patience actually produces in me the God nature and equips me with strength and does very specific things, which we're going to look at tonight. But that doesn't come to me in times of ease and times of prosperity where I have no problems. It comes mostly and completely to me when hell is breaking loose against me. I've gotten a bad report. There's tribulation coming. There is temptation coming. There is testing coming. And that is what is going to develop this incredible thing called patience. Now, patience has a perfect work. It makes me, number one, perfect. That word perfect in the Greek is teleos, and it means mature. It brings me up into full stature of Jesus Christ. You see, God's not here on this planet with me so that I can be comfortable and prosperous. God is on this planet with me, indwelling me by the Spirit of grace, so that I can become exclusively His and that the kingdom of heaven can come to me and through me into this earth. Because I am His body. I am the church, a part of it. He's the head. We are the body. Therefore, He is functioning with the supernatural kingdom of heaven, not randomly. He is functioning through His church. To us and through us. Therefore, God is interested in my maturity. He's interested in me growing up and being mature. Not only does patience, it says, let's just look at this verse again so we can see it. If you're taking notes, patience, what does it do? That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What does that mean, complete? Complete is a word that means that you have full ability to access every resource of the kingdom of God in a time of testing and trial and tribulation. That I have the ability, as I'm complete, I am completely filled up and whole, and I can access the invisible kingdom of God with my faith, and that which I need from the invisible realm will come to me, and it will actually move through me, and I will want nothing when I begin to develop patience in my life. Now, I'm not going to learn how to do this in a good time because I don't need God so much in good times like that, but I need the supernatural deliverance. I need the supernatural ability. I need the supernatural resources of the kingdom of heaven. When I'm in lack, when I'm hurting, when I'm sick, when there's no hope, that's when I need faith and I need the supernatural. When everything's going great, you and I both know, all of us know this, that it's, we love God and it's wonderful and He wants us prosperous. God wants to bless us. He wants His favor to come to us. But there are times when He needs us to kick it up a step and to grow up to another level. And therefore, there's going to come testing and tribulation and trial. And it's not to be looked at as bad, but it's to actually be looked at as something incredibly wonderful that God is allowing us to grow to in the kingdom of heaven. That's why He says, count it all joy. So we know that patience is going to cause me and cause you to become mature, that we're going to understand the kingdom and we're going to know and with wisdom how to operate in it. We know that patience, according to this verse, causes us to be complete. We have now the ability to access the supernatural. You know, when Jesus walked on the earth as a man, He was all God and all man. Humanity and deity fused together, and He's still a man seated at the right hand of the Father. He did not come and operate as God in the flesh. He came as the Son of Man, the Son of God, and though He was God in the flesh, He never used His supernatural power for Himself. He only did what the Father told Him to do. He only spoke what the Father told Him to spoke. He only operated what the Holy Spirit and the Father told Him to do. He was demonstrating to us because He knew that we would have a new nature and that one day as He is in this earth, so we would be, that as we watch His life, that we could mirror that life and that we could walk in that life just like He walked in it. Not because He was a supernatural God, but because He was the last Adam, the Son of Man, and He's the one that has caused us to be born of the Spirit of God with a new nature, accessing this invisible kingdom because He said, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And when you've got the kingdom of God, you've got everything you will ever need. Everything. We're ruled by the temporal and the corporeal world, the material world that we live in. It's made up of time, space, and matter. That's all we know. But there's an invisible realm. There's an invisible kingdom. And that kingdom formed and thought and spoke and created the corporeal world that you and I now inhabit. And even though I'm in a flesh body, this body's going to lay down, but my spirit and my soul are eternal, and I'm getting a new body, and I'm part of this amazing, amazing kingdom of God. But how do I access it? How do I grow in my faith? How do I see myself become mature? How do I actually face tribulation, face temptation, face testing? How do I do it and actually pass the test? Because here's the deal. The purpose of tests and trials that are to come our way, it's very clear right here in the Word. The purpose of a temptation or a test or a trial a situation that will show you where your heart is with God's word, his instruction. You see, you're going to be tested. God doesn't send the evil, but God uses the evil. And this is what I love. James 1, verse 2 through 4, in the Message. Look to the screen. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. You see, God is after our growth. When testing and trial come at us, God is using it to approve us and to cause us to come higher in the kingdom and to grow up. James chapter 1, let's look at verse 12 and 3. Let's just travel down this chapter for a moment. It says here in verse 12, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, for when he has been approved, for when he has been approved, for when he has been approved." Blessed is the man or the woman who endures trials, tests, tribulations, and temptations. For when you have been approved. You see, God never says for when you fail. God's highest and best for me and for you is not that as these tests come at us, these temptations and these tribulations come at us, that they're there and designed to take us out. They are there and designed to put us over. It is a divine setup to grow us up, to empower us, and to teach us how to operate in a supernatural kingdom that you and I cannot taste or see or smell or touch or feel, but it's more real than the world we live in. So it says here, blessed is the man or the woman who endures temptation, for when he or she has been approved, she or he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So God wants me to be approved. His will for me is to pass the test. His will for me is to graduate. His will for me is to come to higher levels of maturity and completeness in the kingdom of heaven. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God can be tempted for God. Let me just read this again. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. This doesn't come from God. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Okay, so here comes trial, test, temptations. God's wanting us to be approved. It's going to give us something. It's going to bring a power into our lives called patience. Patience is going to grow me up, cause me to be mature, and it's going to complete me, which means I have access now. I understand, I get it, how to connect in faith and see the kingdom of God's resources, which are limitless, come into my world, which is absolutely finite. But this test is not just, it's not sent by God. God wants us to be approved in it. But this test comes through evil, through Satan. He's the tempter. So I thought it would be interesting to see just a little illustration of what does a test look like. It's going to teach me patience. I'm supposed to pass it. I'm going to need patience to pass this thing. So let's just have an illustrated sermon right now. Is that all right? So God expects us to pass the test. So if I could just have my two, can I have temptation and can I have the man? Please come forward. This is Dr. Becker and this is Eleanor. They are married, so anything that goes on up here is going to be absolutely lawful. So let's just look at this for a second. God expects us to overcome. That's his design for us. Jesus demonstrated it in the wilderness temptation when the enemy came to him after 40 days of fasting and said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written. And he spoke out of his word, the word of God, and he absolutely refused the temptation and he passed every test, right? So let's just say that this is Henny Christian. And Henny Christian loves God with all his heart. Pastor Becker loves God with all his heart. And he knows how to resist temptation. So Eleanor, his wife, you represent temptation. You are the temptress, all right? And so it says that the man of God is going to resist temptation. So here comes man of God, but he has natural desires. We all have human desires. Are you with me? We are not crucified from those. They didn't separate from us when we got our new natures. We actually are a little bipolar. We have the good me and the bad me, right? Do you have that? Yeah, you still have evil desires in your life. It's how we control them. So here comes the temptation, and she's trying to get him to come her way. But look at what he does. You see, he's being approved. He's standing the test of time through patience, and he's not allowing her to get to him. Now let's see what Satan does. Temptress, back over here. So we see that God expects us to overcome, but the enemy now, who sends the test, who sends the trial, who sends the tribulation, because we just read in James that God does not tempt us with evil. Did we read that? So the tempter is Satan. Satan sends trouble to destroy us. Jesus made it really clear in John 10:10, the dividing factor. He said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life. That word life is Zoe, the God kind of life, and have it abundantly. Not just a little dabble, do you, but God wants to baptize me in the heaven life, the kingdom life in this earth, because he wants to get the kingdom to me and through me. Are you with me? So here comes the enemy. And the enemy, and it says in James, now let's go back to James, but each one is tempted, verse 14, when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. That word enticed means trapped. Then when desire was conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So here's how a temptation works. Here is Christian man Henny, and he's a little carnal. And he's trying to resist, and here comes the temptress. And it says, we are drawn away when our desires meet, greet, and mate with temptation. Okay? Now they have met, and they have greeted each other, and now they have mated with each other, because it says in the Word of God, thanks guys, you were so good. It says, when desire... drawn away by your own desires and enticed. When desire has conceived, it's conceived. Now, it has met with something. Desire meets with temptation. And when they meet and mate, they conceive. They conceive. Then when desire has conceived, who has it conceived with? Temptation. Desire and temptation have met and mated, and they give birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Sin wants to rule over us, wants to conquer us, and wants to take us back. It can't take away my salvation, but it can cause me to live such a defeated, depressed, destroyed, diminished life on this earth that I never accomplished the will of God, and I never fulfilled destiny, because I have given in with my fleshly desires to temptation and trouble that comes my way. When my desire meets with Satan's temptation, I meet and mate, and I conceive sin. Now, what is sin? Simple definition of sin, just so we all know what we're talking about. It's to disobey God's instructions. There you go. 1 John 3:4 in the Amplified says, everyone who commits, practices sin is guilty of lawlessness, for that is what sin is, lawlessness, the breaking, violating of God's law by transgression or neglect. Being unrestrained and unregulated by his commands and his will. So you see, God doesn't say you're not going to go through a time of testing. He never says you're not going to go through a time of tribulation and trial. He says, but he expects me to be fully approved. And in this time of testing and tribulation and trial, if I will stand my ground with God in faith and let patience have her perfect work in my life, I will actually grow up further. I will actually learn how to access the kingdom like I never have before. And there's going to be something else that's going to happen, but we'll get to that in just a minute. So right now, two things. I grow up, and God shows up in my life, and I access the resources of heaven. Are you with me? When I don't, and I mate my desire with temptation, then when desire conceives, with sin is born. Desire and temptation, sin is born. And sin, if it's not checked, will destroy us. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. God wants to approve me. He wants to elevate me. He wants to graduate me to a new level. Satan wants to pull me down. He wants me to be separated from God's word. He wants me to be discouraged. He wants me to lose heart. He wants me to give up. He wants me to say it's not worth it. He wants me to absolutely give up on my dreams, give up on all my plans, give up on everything I believe the promises of God for. And that is what is happening. And if you think that Christianity is easy, you're crazy. It's not. And if you're not being tempted, tested, or tried, and you're not under some kind of persecution, why? Because God said all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus said, don't be surprised. You are going to have tribulation, trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. There's that word rejoice again. For I've overcome the world. You see, I'm going to overcome tribulation, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And it's going to actually elevate me to a whole new place in the kingdom of God. So it's a setup to elevate me where Satan means for it to pull me down. God means for it to lift me up. That's why James says, rejoice. When you encounter trials and testings and temptations and trouble, rejoice. Something awesome is happening to you. I'm giving you a God opportunity to do what's never been able to be done in your life. It's not something you can receive. It's something you have to grow to. And when you grow to it, kids, you're going to understand what you've not understood. You're going to learn how to access the kingdom like you never have before. And I'm going to be able to entrust you with real power. Not this foolish stuff of the world. Sorry, I'm getting excited. So, let's just review. God's plan, to approve us in a trial and a temptation. Satan's plan, to diminish us and to destroy us. So, here we go. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Now, I want to just go there quickly, and then we're going to go to Romans, and we're going to be done. Are you all right? So, we know. I know I'm drilling this into your heads, but patience causes me to be mature, to grow up, to be perfect. God wants me to look like Jesus. God wants me to act like Jesus. God wants me to believe like Jesus. God wants to bring the kingdom of God and the miracle-working power of God and the resources of heaven into my life, and it flows through my life, and it doesn't get hung up on my fleshly desires and my immaturity. You see, you wouldn't give your kids all of your inheritance if you were a wealthy man, until those kids grew up enough to understand how to not to let that wealth destroy them. Is that not true? Well, Jesus said in Luke chapter 16 about the kingdom of heaven, he says, if you are not faithful in unrighteous mammon, just the world's money, who will entrust you what already belongs to you, the true riches of the kingdom of heaven? You see, you and I don't need money. I love what I said to my husband one day. You know, Solomon said money answers all things. And Jim instantly said this. He said, yeah, if money's your answer. See, money's not the answer. God's the answer. The kingdom's the answer. Jesus didn't work hard for money. Jesus walked in the will of God and did what the Holy Spirit told him to do. And the kingdom of heaven was in him, and it went through him. It is no different in our lives right now, because as he is in this world, we are to be. But we can miss it completely and get sidetracked by this temporal world that we live in. And when these temptations and trials come, we grow weary, and we want to stop, and we want to quit, and we want to give up, and we want to absolutely just divorce ourselves from anything that we were walking in because it's too hard and it's no fun. But you see, God's saying, kids, don't go there, because patience in this trial is going to do something miraculous in your life if you will learn to develop this amazing force that's already in you. So in Hebrews chapter 10, and I'll just give you a proof scripture, and this is King James Bible. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't quit. Don't sidetrack. Don't buckle on this thing, for you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, when a trial comes at you, right now we're in a trial of healing. Pain is a very loud voice. Pain is yelling and hollering and picking up and kicking a fit, pitching a fit at my husband every day. And if he listens to that pain, it can stop his faith. That's a trial. It's a test. It's a tribulation. We've been trying to sell a house. It's gone into escrow 2 times, and both times it's fallen out. And the people that have bought the house absolutely were the squirreliest, craziest. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how bizarre it's been. And if I look at that on the natural, I could say, absolutely, God, this is nuts. This is crazy. Forget the whole thing. But you see, circumstances have a voice. Pain has a voice. What's your trouble? What's your trial? Is it, maybe it's relationships. Maybe you're going through a bad relationship right now. Maybe your marriage has fallen apart. Maybe there's been a death in the family. Maybe somebody died and they shouldn't have died. Maybe it's finances and you've lost everything. Whatever the trouble is, it has a voice and it wants to discourage you. It wants to divide you away from the Word of God. It wants to keep you from believing and fulfilling your destiny and walking in the steps that Jesus walked in. And God says, don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. Don't let your hearts grow weary, because Satan is after our hearts. If he can get us to grow weary in well-doing, if he can get us to lose heart, if he can divide us away from the truth of God's word with the facts of this natural world, then we might as well just quit now and play dead, because we're going to be nothing more than pawns to this radical thief that wants to steal everything we have, destroy every dream we've ever thought and dreamed, and take us out early. But you see, God says that trouble isn't meant to take you out. That trouble is actually meant to put you over. How do I do this? He says, don't throw your confidence away. You have need of it. So now let's go to Romans and we'll wind it up. Are you all right with me? How do I do this? There's a man named Abraham. Romans chapter 4 and 5. And I'm just going to tell you the story. He's talking about, my goodness, Abraham was as good as dead. He was 100 years old. Sarah was 90. They were supposed to have this son, and Abraham couldn't have Isaac, and Sarah couldn't have Isaac until they couldn't have Isaac. The penny drop. They couldn't have Isaac until they couldn't have Isaac. You see, God's not in this so that my flesh can glory, that I can do this on my own. If I could do this on my own, I don't need God. But when I can't do it, when I'm absolutely incapable of doing it, when there's not surgery, when there's not time, when there's not money, when it's over, when the coffin lid is shut, when it's absolutely dead and gone and there's no hope, God says, now you are a candidate for a miracle of faith, and don't lose your confidence. Now I'm trying to be very subdued. I'm obviously not doing it very well, because I'm actually glistening up here. That's called sweat on an old woman. Glisten. But this thing is so real. Abraham, he didn't look at the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't look at his own impotence at 100. And listen, that man needed some Viagra. They were old. They were really, really old. It wasn't just Bible old. No, they were old. She'd gone through menopause, he'd gone through male menopause, whatever that is, and there was no hope that those two could ever cohabit again and have a baby. But he didn't consider the deadness of her womb. He didn't consider his own impotence. He didn't look at those things that were impossible. He looked to the promise of God, and he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. They waited 25 years to have Isaac. So finally they have Isaac. Now, he's the father of faith. He is our father in the spirit realm. Abraham's the father of faith. And it says, therefore, verse 5, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. God, Paul says, now listen, because of Abraham, Abraham and because of what he did, you have access. You have a place that you can live and that you can stand. And that place is called grace. It's the throne of grace. And God says, when you can't, I can. When you're weak, I'm strong. When all is lost, it's only just begun. It's called grace. God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. So he says, you stand in this grace. Now here's where we're going to go. Through whom we have access by faith. Verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory. We rejoice. There's these crazy people again. We rejoice in tribulation, in testing, in trial, in tribulation. Knowing. You see, they knew something. They knew something about this. Knowing that tribulation produces, and in the King James Bible, can I have it up there? It produces patience. Tribulation produces patience. Patience produces experience. And experience produces hope. And hope will never disappoint you or make you ashamed because you know something. You know that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. And you know that there's no devil in hell. There is no tribulation. There is no famine. There is no sword. There is no peril. There is no demons. There is nothing, Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, that can separate me from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus. And when you begin to know that a trial and a test is God ordained, he didn't send it, he didn't make it, but he's going to use it. So don't circumvent it. Don't stop it, but walk through it with him and watch and see what patience does. It will grow you up. It will complete you. And now, can I just have my two actors up again? It will cause me to stand someplace where I got to stay. Now, the word for patience here, and in these verses that I've used, is hupomene. You don't speak Greek, and I don't speak Greek, but this is an important Greek word. Hupomene. Hupo, or hupa, means under. It's two words. Mone is a word that we use for abide, to stay, to live, to dwell. So this amazing patience not just grows me up, not just completes me and gives me access to all the kingdom of God's resources, but now this amazing hupomene, this grace, this patience, now causes me to come under and to live and stay and dwell in a place where I need to stay so I can receive power, so I can overcome the temptation. You are hupa and you are mene. Patience. Here I am in a trial. And oh, I want out of this trial. I'm done. I'm finished. I've had it. Oh no, not going to do this again. Been there, done that. God, I quit. I'm finished. I'm done. I am not going to go. I am not going to stay. I am not going to believe. I am tired of all of this. And here is hupo and mene, patience, holding me steady and not letting me get away from the throne room of grace where I can find help in a time of need. Because God said, when you can't, I can't, but I need you at the throne. I need you to receive grace. I need you to have my power because, child, you can't do it on your own. You want to quit? Don't quit now. Don't quit now. Don't give up. Don't throw away your confidence. Don't grow weary in well-doing. No, just stay there. Stay there. Patience holds me steady and keeps me at the throne of grace. You guys are great. Thank you. Guys, really fast. The million-dollar question now then is, so how do I let patience have its perfect work in me? Four things, and they're going to go fast. I've said enough tonight. Number one, first thing, God says, count it all joy. James 1:2, we just read it. Add up your assets and your liabilities. Count is a word in the Greek that says logizomai. Logizomai, it's an accounting term. It's debits and credits, liabilities and assets. God says, listen, in this world, you're going to have fact, natural fact. Natural fact that your husband's discs have slipped again. Natural fact that there are things happening in his back that should have never happened after the surgery. Natural fact, the doctors want to do another surgery, but oh no, we don't want you to go there. Natural fact. That's all fact. That's all fact. But you see, truth now supersedes fact. God's truth says, I'm healed by the stripes of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God says that he will do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all that I can hope or ask or think. See, natural fact, yeah, you've lost your house. Yeah, you've lost your job. Yeah, you're not making enough money. Natural fact, you can't make ends meet. But you see, God says, will you trust me? Will you begin to work in the kingdom of God like I've asked you to? Will you begin to release the mammon in your life? Man, maybe it's not 10%. Maybe it's 3%. You see, you learn to give. Because when you give, you begin to say, it's not my money anymore, God. It's your money. How much money? How much of your money, God, do you want me to keep? See, if God gives me everything, then it's not my money. It's his. It's faith. Faith accesses the supernatural kingdom. Patience equips my faith not to stop. So God says, listen, count it all joy. Add up the truth versus the natural facts. The truth supersedes all natural fact. 2, ask for wisdom. James chapter 1, we read it. You don't know what to do? God says, ask me. I can see ahead of you. I can see behind you. I can see beside you. I can see the forces of darkness that you don't even know are there. But ask me in faith. Don't ask me with a ho-hum and a discouraged heart. Come to me. Come to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need, because I have a faithful high priest. His name is Jesus, that has absolutely experienced everything I'm going through. And he is sympathetic and he will run to my aid. But you see, I got to go to the throne. I got to ask in faith. 3, God says, keep doing good. Stay doing the right thing. In a hard time, we are going to be tempted to fudge. We're going to be tempted to skim. We're going to be tempted to circumvent and sidestep the process. And God says, don't do that. Stay doing the right things. If God is good and good is a God word, then my definition of good is God's will, God's way. It means I keep doing God's will, God's way. Not God's will, my way. Not my will, my way in a trial. No, God's will, God's way. I've asked for wisdom. It hasn't come yet. Then you don't do anything until you hear from God, because he will speak to you maybe at the last moment, but he will tell you what to do and you will hear the instruction, because it's far more important to him that you hear the instruction and do it than even if you hear it or not. He wants you to be approved. He's designed us to be approved. So count it all joy. Count up the facts. Add up the facts. Total your assets, the truth of God, the promises of God, against the liabilities of the facts of this natural world. Believe me, God's truth will always prevail. 2, do good. Ask for wisdom. 2, ask in faith. 3, do good. And 4, stay focused. Look at what is eternal, not temporal. Forever and ever and ever, we're going to live with Jesus. We only have a short time on earth. Right now in earth time, we have opportunities that we'll never get again, ever. Just like this pastor's conference, I believe it's a God-given opportunity for us to step in faith and host his shepherds. It's an opportunity. Like the missions conference was an opportunity. Did it cost us? Oh, yeah. Was it a lot of work? Oh, yeah. But, oh, the benefits far outweighed the cost. Right now, you are earthside. For a brief vapor of time, you will have opportunities now to walk in faith, to let patience have her perfect work, to love the unlovely, and to do the will of God. But you got to stay focused, because everything in your flesh and everything in your natural life is going to try to get you to circumvent this test and this trial. Bail out of it and stop. God says, don't do that. Don't do that. Because this test, I know exactly what you're going through. I've already gone through it. I've got the grace for you to get through it. I've got the answers on the other side. God's delays are not his denials. Just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it won't. So many stories I could tell, but I'm so out of time. So tonight, if we could just remember just a couple of things about tonight's message. God says patience actually is not something I can receive. It's something I have to work out and I have to exercise in my own life, because I've already got it. It's like a muscle. I've got to use it. Testing and trial will exercise my patience. Patience has a perfect work. It will make me perfect and mature. I'm going to grow up like Jesus. And I'm going to be complete, which means I understand and can access the resources of the kingdom of heaven. And not just for me, but for those around me that are poor, for the lepers and the poor, all the people that don't know Jesus yet and have no access to him. That's why we're here. God says not only will it do those two things, but now, hupomene, patience will keep you standing in that place of grace. And you must be in that place of grace to receive strength and power to overcome this thing. So how do I do it? Four things, quickly. What's my part? Count it all joy. Add up the facts. Two, ask for wisdom and faith. Three, keep doing good. Galatians 6:9 says, do not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you will reap if you do not faint. In due season, there's a due season. There's a due season coming. It's around the corner. Because you can't see it now doesn't mean that it's not about there. You don't know all the details God's working out right now that all have to be in place so that your due season can be perfect. So be patient. Let yourself grow up. Let's let ourselves become complete. And let's let patience keep us in that amazing place of grace, the very throne of God, where all power and all glory is. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.